to go back to the Quaker Spices, I think the foundation of what Wilmington Friends School is, and it turns out good people, it's not just, yes, of course it's about the education, but also it's about the people that this place turns out. It turns out good people who will do good.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Quaker Matters podcast. On today's episode, we are joined by Leslie Tryon, Wilmington Friends School class of 1971, and someone who has worn many different hats in her 30 years in the Wilmington Friends School business office. Leslie has served as the Director of Accounting and Benefits, the Director of Business Operations and Benefits, and currently serves as the Assistant Director of Finance. Leslie, could you first explain your role and specifically how you work with Wilmington Friends School employees?
Well, I basically manage the business office as far as the day-to-day, you know, payroll, pay bills, benefits, working with employees, especially with their benefits, and trying to help them when they have questions. You know, it's important, benefits are important, but they're something you don't really want to spend a lot of time thinking about, and they're complicated, and nobody understands them. I understand them a little, so I can help folks. But it's important to me to be able to help them with their benefits, with questions about their pay, questions about their retirement, so that they can be free to teach the kids and not be sitting and trying to be on the phone forever with, you know, with our benefits folks.
What's your background in finance, and how did you find your way back to Wilmington Friends School in 1994?
Surprisingly, learning a lot on the job. I've done a lot of things, like be a mortgage broker. I've been a dog groomer. I've been a candy girl, which means you go fill those candy kiosks in the store. I started out as a nursing, and after about 3 years, I realized that I didn't have the patience for sick people as much as I could have. And so I just decided to get a business degree and then worked for a housing company as VP sales and just kind of a lot of things. You name it, I've done it.
And what's your relationship with Quaker schools? You obviously went here and graduated in 1971. You've been working here for 3 decades and sent your children here. So there is kind of a deep history there, but was there anything in between, or is this sort of your relationship with Quaker schools is being a Friends alum and then also a Friends employee?
Just having graduated from here, that's my experience with a Quaker school. So I graduated, you know, a long time ago. And when it came time to send the kids to school, it didn't really occur to me to send them anywhere else, because I realized the value of this education maybe more years ago, maybe not necessarily even while I was here, but the further away from it I was, the more I realized how important my years here were. And that's what I wanted for my kids. And so, really, I started working here when my kids came here. I was lucky enough to have it. There was a job opening, and it's like, oh, good, perfect.
When you work in finance, what's the difference between working in finance at a nonprofit, like we are here at Wilmington Friends School, versus a for-profit company?
Well, it took me maybe a good year to realize, because when you work for a for-profit, you make certain decisions that are monetary based. And yes, we're the business office, but I can remember maybe somebody would break a window, I don't know. And I would say, really? We're not gonna make them pay for that? Because I was used to the for-profit world. And after about a year, I realized that we do, as much as we can, put people first. I know that sounds trite, but it's true. It's true. That was a little hard for me to get used to, coming from the profit world.
In what ways are you working with fundraising, alumni development, and maybe even the admissions office.
Our office supports the development office. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, whatever the development office needs, and the admissions office, you know, because they're the folks behind the scenes, but they're the folks, too, you know, that are keeping things going behind the scenes. The development office, our donors, you know, surprisingly, you know, because our tuition is not inexpensive. However, tuition only covers about 85% of the cost of running this school. I mean, if you, you know, if you got our electric bill, you would just quietly go into a puddle. There's a lot to supporting this school, and tuition makes up about 85% of that. The donors are the folks who help us fill that gap so that we can meet the goals that we set for our students, for our constituents, for our faculty. The donors, they play a huge part in our budget. You know, our annual fund is part of our budget each year from the prior year. We don't spend money we don't have yet, so we know what we got the prior, but it's a big component. And like whatever development needs, we will do. Home and School asked if, you know, folks could pay by PayPal. Okay, we set up a PayPal account, you know. They've set up the ability to pay by credit cards. We absorb the fees. We don't ask donors to absorb the fees because it's more important to us. Yeah, we just want to make it easy. Make it easy to support the school.
Can you discuss the importance and power of financial aid?
Financial aid is really important to this school and to this school's mission. We could not have the diversity. And when I'm saying diversity, I'm not saying, you know, necessarily, you know, skin tone or from whence someone came. I'm talking about economic diversity, all kinds of diversity, you know, what your parents do, you know. And we couldn't have that if we didn't give as much financial aid as we do. It's important to us. And, you know, I don't know how it was when I went to school here, but I'd venture to say we didn't give near the financial aid that we give now. And I'm on that committee, and we consider lots of things because we want, you know, we want a diverse population.
How does the business office work with other departments? You mentioned a little bit about alumni development, working with admissions, but in terms of faculty, the teachers that are in the classroom with the students, how are you working with those folks?
Our office, you know, we're not the educators. We have fabulous educators. We don't know what the kids need. Of course we don't. They do. So, like, really the foundation of running the school is the budget, the annual budget. And in putting together the budget, every department has input into that budget. We have budget worksheets. They fill them out. They tell us what they need for the upcoming year. And they go to their division heads, who then put them all together. And it's totally collaborative. Also, we have a pot of money set aside for capital requests, things that are going to be more permanent. It could be a smart board. It could be lighting in the courtyard. And so everybody gets to do a capital request. The link goes out to everybody, and they can submit a capital request. And then the senior administrators, you know, because we're always balanced. We're always between what the goals of the schools are, supporting the mission, what's best for everyone, against the financial resources that we have available. You know, there's a finite amount of resources. But the goal is to use those resources effectively and to put them where they're needed while maintaining a balanced budget. So basically, don't spend more than we have. And we've always been, and of course we have boards and finance committees and endowment committees and people on them, brilliant people. So we've always been in a great position in managing the finances of the school and allocating those resources.
And what happens when a student, faculty member, staff member wants to use some of these funds that you're referring to?
Well, sometimes that's where we go back to those donors, because sometimes donors will give us money to for very specific things, whether it's lacrosse nets, whether it's the garden. So sometimes they might go to the development office to talk to them about funds that can be used for certain projects. Other projects, depending on how big they are, they might just go to their to the division head of their division. It could even be, it could be like a bake sale. It, you know, we, it's important to support, and they come up with brilliant projects. And we have so many committees, you know, that do this and that. So that's sort of where the division, and some of them even raise their own money. So, hey, you know, so yeah, that's, it's various sources, but you always try to support what they want to do. They're amazing.
Wilmington Friends School just celebrated its 275th anniversary. And so just in reflecting on that 275 years, obviously an incredibly long time, what is the secret sauce of Friends? What makes Friends so special and so long-lasting?
Well, I think part of the secret sauce, and of course I may be prejudiced because I'm in the business office, is the responsible fiscal management of the school for that many years. But it's also caring, seriously caring. Again, I know some of this sounds like, you know, truly caring about the kids, the constituents, the, you know, I mean, the other employees. Being equitable in how we apply the benefits, the retirement. You know, some schools, certain groups of folks may not get the same benefits as other folks. That's nonsense. Everybody gets the same benefits. You know, it's just that important. And I think, to go back to the Quaker Spices, I think the foundation of what Wilmington Friends School is, and it turns out good people, it's not just, yes, of course, it's about the education, but also it's about the people that this place turns out. It turns out good people who will do good. So I think it's lasted that long. But yes, financial, good fiscal management.